To 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. same scripture we read last week.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I want to read Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. So we'll have it up here. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And then I want to read one more scripture out of Jude. Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we just, as every portion of the service we give to you, but especially at this moment, this time, Lord, God, that you would come down and speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, I know that I stand before your purchased, those that you purchased with your blood. And so, Lord, I want to speak the truth to them as much as I know it is truth. And so I pray, God, that you would just come and just anoint our speaking and our hearing and everything about us, Lord, that you would be able to just place within our hearts the things that you have for us tonight, that you would touch everyone, both physically, spiritually, mentally, in every way, lift them up into your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, this is What Did John See? This is part 7. And I suppose we'll subtitle this The Way of Cain. And so we'll just kind of rehearse or review just a little bit. So last week when we talked, we were talking about read the same scriptures. And so we find out that the first horse rider was a religious deception. All through the ages, been listening to the seals, and Brother Ram said, all through the ages, men have taught that that was Christ or the early church. And so he said, I was about to say, wrote down some of the same thought process until the Holy Spirit came and changed it and showed him that that wasn't it at all, that it was actually the Antichrist. And so that first horse rider was a religious deception that had started out in Christianity but had left out and went out away from the truth of the word. And we talked about how the Antichrist means anti-word, right? Christ is the anointed one, which is the word. The word is anointed one. And so Antichrist is anti-word, and that Satan, by placing himself in the place or in the stead of Christ, that makes him Antichrist. And so he can't be the word, right? That's the one thing he can't. Brother Bram, I heard him say it today, that all these gifts and all these things that God does, you know, Satan can imitate those things. Tongues and all those things, he can imitate all those things. But there's one thing he cannot do. He cannot get behind the blood, because Brother Bram said if he could get saved and sanctified and get behind the blood, then he'd be your brother. And so he can't do that. He can't get behind the blood, and therefore he's not your brother. And so we know he's not a creator. And so he's anti. He becomes anti. And so we talked last week how Brother Branham, we read the quote where Brother Branham tells us that there was always twins. In every revival, there's always twins. And I didn't say it last week, but I'll say it now. Even in the message of the hour, there will be twins. Yeah. There's always twins. And so he talked about how that we go back in the garden, you had Cain and Abel. They were twins, but totally opposite each other. You had Jacob and Esau. Totally different than each other. Come along, he said that Jesus and Judas was from the same tribe, come out of the same church, and look what the difference was there. Right. And he said, just about the time that Jesus came on the scene, you know, Judas came on the scene. And when Jesus went off the scene, Judas went off the scene. And when the Holy Spirit came, the Antichrist came. And so these things are always running there together, and that's why he emphasized, we quote so many times, how that if we can get the revelation of the two spirits in the framework of the church, because this is a religious deception, that you can get the revelation that there are two spirits in the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit you can recognize and withstand the evil spirit, then you become an invincible army, meaning that Satan, his tricks don't work on you anymore, right? And so I happen to believe that God could have an invincible army.
Amen.
But it'll be because They recognize the tricks of the devil. The scripture said we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. And so we talked about how that those were there. And so Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau, Christ and Judas, all of these were types and pointing to how that there would be a Christ and Antichrist right. in the church. So I subtitled this The Way of Cain. And so I guess I don't want to kind of just talk about Cain just for a moment as we go forward. So Cain did not have a revelation. He didn't have a revelation like Abel, his brother, did what the original sin was. He thought, you know, because we even today people say, oh, it was fruit, it was an apple or something like that. And so Cain brought fruit of the ground, right? He brought vegetables or whatever. But Abel had a revelation that it was blood. It was a blood sin because of the blood passes through sexual contact of a man and woman. So he got the revelation that it wasn't those things. And perhaps he just listening to the story of Adam and Eve saying what happened there. And yeah, this is what happened. And so God made coats of skins and put them on us. And so he could say, well, wait a minute. You made fig leaves and God didn't accept it, but then he gave you skins. So maybe that's how he got the revelation, that the Holy Spirit moved upon that and he realized, okay, it's got to be shed blood. And so he brought his sacrifice and God accepted it. And so we realize that Cain did not have a revelation and therefore his worship could not be accepted by God.
Right.
The scripture said God had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice, but he did not have respect to Cain. And so you realize that what you have a revelation of, that's what you're going to support. What you believe, that's what you're going to support. That talks about mark of the beast, right? What you believe and what you support.
Right.
And so because Cain did not have the revelation, he could not worship right. He could not come with the right sacrifice. But Abel did. And so Cain, his worship could not be accepted by God. And so we realize that Cain began to persecute the one who did have revelation. He began to persecute the one who God did accept. And so you realize that he did that because he was jealous. He was jealous of his brother. And I've often thought that here was Brother Branham in our day with the gifts that God gave him, and always accurate, dead on the money, never missed it when he was in that discernment like that. And yet people would challenge him. And the reason why they would do that and work schemes and everything like that around him was because they were jealous.
Right.
You know, and so how many remember hearing Brother Ram say that, you know, you get the man, get the ball running with it like football, and everybody's trying to jerk the ball out of his hands instead of trying to block him. That's what they were doing. They were trying to hinder his ministry because they were jealous of his ministry.
Yeah.
And so we realize that he began to persecute the one who did have a revelation because of jealousy. And we realize also that Cain could not obey God. God came and told him, here's what you got to do. Just do what your brother did, and you'll be accepted. And so, but he couldn't do that. So now let that merge together with they went out from us, and that proved that they were not part of us, because if they had been part of us, they no doubt would not have gone out. So you see, when you're going to realize that the believer, once he comes in contact with Jesus Christ, the Word, in a birth, and he comes into that realm, he can't leave that. That becomes a new birth in him. That becomes something that cannot be taken from him. He'll never go away from that because he knows he's come in contact with something that speaks right there that's in his heart. And so, but if you're not like that, then you're like Cain. Then it makes no difference how much word, how many services you sit in, how many great meetings, how many miracles you see, whatever. It doesn't matter. You'll always pull away from the word and go do something contrary to the word because there's not anything in there to stay with that word.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we realize that Cain could not obey God, and so he went out from the presence of God. He went out from the presence of the word.
Right?
Now, these are characteristics. This is the way of Cain, right? He couldn't have revelation. He couldn't worship God and be accepted by God because of that. He had to strike out and persecute those who do have a revelation. And he couldn't stay with the Word and obey God. He has to leave the Word. These are characteristics that is the way, and Jude talking about different ones and so forth. And what you find out is these characteristics of Cain comes all the way down through the Bible. You know, Brother Graham talked about it. He never got to it. And I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. But he talked about preaching a sermon called The Trail of the Serpent. The beast at the beginning and the beast at the end through the trail of the serpent. That you can follow that beast from the beginning all the way to the end by following that trail of the serpent all the way through the scriptures. Now, in my opinion, this is what the part I've said before, this is my opinion, but I think the entire message is preaching the trail of the serpent. Because it's showing us that beast at the beginning and at the end and how he come all the way through the scriptures. And I'm talking about it tonight. I've been talking about it in this series and will be. That trail of the serpent. That's the revelation that God has given us. How we can see that even in the midst of a religious system, that Satan is laying right there just like he was religious in Cain and so forth. So, we see these characteristics. And so when we talked about Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, and Jesus and Judas, well, we'll focus just for a moment on Cain, Esau, and Judas. Each one of those men drew back from the Word of God, drew back from the position they held. Remember the angels who had their first habitation in the presence of God, and they fell from that? Right? And how that people come down and can have in the presence of God, but fall from that presence of God. And so people acting out on earth, what happened there in heaven? And so each one of these draw back from the presence and go from the Word of God off into something else. So if we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, this is a very good scripture that it's always stuck out to me. Now, it says, now the just shall live by faith. Right? The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, talking about the church, the bride, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. How much do we believe? All the way to the saving of the soul. Yeah. Right? But we're not of those who draw back. We're not of those that go out from the presence of the Word. Right? Right? But there are those who do. And he said they draw back to perdition. Yeah. To damnation. Because when you leave the life, the presence of life that's in the Word, then you go to death. When you leave that truth, you go to Babylon. And that's what happened many, many years ago. That's why it's called Mystery Babylon, the church system. So Cain left the presence of the Lord and became a wanderer. As I said, he had no place to call home, no place to settle down and say, right here is where I'll prosper under the hand of the Lord, and nothing can move me from this place that God has given me. He didn't have that. He left what God could have given him and went out away from the presence of the Lord and became a wanderer. Esau had the birthright. He had his first habitation. He had this place that God had given him, but he did not have respect unto it and was willing to trade that for some temporary something. And so he sold his birthright and so... Realize that Cain moved into a place where he could not return back from. Okay? Esau moved into a place he couldn't return back from. Because the scripture said that Esau sought it carefully with tears, but found no place of repentance. Found no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. I mean, he knows it says that in Hebrews, see? So he couldn't repent. He went to a place of no return. Damnation. You see what I'm saying? And so Judas, we find out that Judas betrayed the Word, and we know afterwards that he repented, and in other words, wished he hadn't have done it because he took the money and threw it back at the Pharisees or whoever it was that gave him and went and hanged himself. And we know Scripture said he was son of perdition. So just these three examples right there that you can see, Cain and Esau and Judas, they all drew back from the word of the Lord and went into damnation and went into perdition. Each one of them going to his place. I say that now. I'm going to read a quote from Mark of the Beast. Amen. I'm trying to go fast because I've got four pages here. But I'm through the first one already. So there's hope. Mark of the Beast and the seal of God, number one. Brother Bram said, as Cain killed Abel at the altar, Judas killed Jesus at the altar, just, you know, by betraying him. Okay? He's showing you the parallels. That wicked persecuting righteous thing that happened again with Judas and Jesus. He said, right. Notice again, you only see three crosses, don't you? We always think of three crosses. But Brother M says there were four crosses. There was Jesus in the middle, a thief on the left side and a thief on the other, and Judas hung himself on a sycamore tree. And Jesus was hanged on a tree too. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And he was made a curse for us. And Judas was on just as much a cross as he was, because he was on a tree, and Jesus was on as much a tree as Judas was. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And watch. Now watch this. There was the Son of God, God made manifest, that came down from heaven, and now returning back to heaven, taking with him a repentant sinner. Right there on the Calvary. And here was Judas, the son of perdition, came from hell, returning back to hell, taking with him the unrepentant sinner. Going back again. Follow me? They're going to their place. They can't stay with the word. They can't believe, but they try to. They can't do it. And so they go to their place. Notice, as I mentioned the other day, how that false system is trying to be, it's anti-Christ, but they're trying to be like Christ. Like I said the other day, they claim that they can forgive sins and take a woman back to being a virgin again, and only God can forgive sins and all those things, all the different parallels that they have that we realize. And here you have it, where Christ comes to redeem his and takes his repented sinner back with him. Here's the son of perdition who's come and taken an unrepented with him to his place. And Brother Rem says, both of them on a cross, dying on a tree, right? Yeah. See the parallels there. Satan trying to be like Christ. Of course, he can't be because he's not the Word. So we see here that the first writer drifted from the Word. It was that early church I talked about last week that they started out in Rome as correct. And I even heard Brother Graham say it today, that he was talking to a Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest said, we used to baptize that way, and we used to believe those things and so forth. And he said, when? He said, all the way back. And he said, I didn't believe that when they said that they started back in Pentecost, in the Pentecostal movement back then. He said, I didn't believe that until I went and read it. That the Catholic Church started way back there in that early church in a real movement, but they drifted from the Word.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And so then that second church of Rome had to come in with Andronicus and Junia and Aquila and Priscilla came in. And so there was another church there that was... And so we realize that first church drifted from the Word, but while they drifted from the Word, they became very popular. They grew immensely. It became more of a political thing, as a society, a lodge, something you can do, that you can get together and birds of a feather and that sort of thing, and all of that without a new birth. See? And so that first horse rider was that early church drifting from the Word, growing in popularity, and it was represented by a white horse. Now, a beast in the Bible is a power. But the white represents deception, because this is a deceptive movement. And so that horse being a power, and we'll find out, I'll read in just a little bit, that a power, this horse, is believers. Satan's believers. And Christ rides a horse too, which is his believers. And I'll read the quote to you in just a little while. And so we realize this first horse rider, he had a bow, but he had no arrows. So Brother Bram said he was a bluff. A bluffer is what he said. He was a bluff. In other words, he couldn't hurt nobody. He couldn't harm nobody. Back in that age, it was deeds and then became a doctrine. But he really had no power until he became crowned. When he became crowned, now he's got some authority. So then that early thing, it started out as a deeds of Nicolaitan, became doctrine of Nicolaitan, and then it became crowned. And so he didn't have power. So he had a bow, but he didn't have no arrows. He didn't have a sword, didn't have any other weapon. But it said, but a crown was given to him. And that happened, Brother Ram said, you know, when they crowned him at 300 AD or whatever the time was there, 312 or whatever, that they crowned him and then he became Pope. And so Brother Ram goes on to say, he said, now notice, he didn't have a name. Christ has a name, but he didn't have a name, and he didn't have a name there, but you'll find out later on under the fourth horse rider, he's given a name. But here he's not given a name. Why? Because it's deception. They don't know. You don't know what it is. It takes a revelation to understand who he is. Because remember, that son of perdition, he's going to come in and deceive, and then at the end time, he'll be revealed in who he is, what it is, and that's what's going on now. So, he didn't have a name at that time, and the scripture said he went forth conquering and to conquer, and he was conquering by his deception. As Brother Ram said, Nicolaitan, not Nico, Nico, conquer the laity. And so it was conquering the church by deception. So, a religious system giving people what they want, giving them a religious worship, giving them all these things, but without the word, without the birth, without the life, is what was happening there. So in the God of this evil age, Brother Ram says, he said, I just got through saying the knowledge and science and Christianity have no fellowship at all. Wow. One is of the devil, and the other one is of God. And anything that denies God's word, keep away from it. See? No, sir. The Bible calls for this last day for Christians to come out of that prostitute, that tree of good and evil. Sure, she has good. Can anybody speak evil of hospitals? No, sir. Libraries? No. Education? No. No, sir. But see, they're giving them that without the word. See how deceiving it is? Giving them a church to go to, a worship, a God that set us up on a throne. And the Bible foretold this. And he said, now you belong to one of these bodies. There is only two of them on the earth now. Think about that. There's only two of them. And everybody belongs to one or the other. As always, he said, always been and will be till Jesus comes. And one of them will be destroyed. Now you belong to one of these bodies. One of them you've joined. And the other one you're born into. So he's talking about the two. You're born into the church of the living God, but you join a lodge, you join, and so forth. But he says, they're giving them a worship, giving them all these things without the word. Because Satan can't give you that. He can't give you a birth, new birth. He doesn't have it to give. He's not a creator. And so it's the God of its evil ages, Brother Bram, talking about that. And so, as I just said, it was the deeds of Nicolaitans that became a doctrine and then became crowned and was conquering the church. Satan, through this, was carrying out his ambition. Remember his ambition? That he'd be like the Most High? He'd be like God? So Satan carrying it, Brother Bram said he's done a marvelous job at it, getting people to worship him. Right? So, Brother Bram tells us, and I don't think I have the quote where I can read it to you, but he says, a spirit is almost helpless without a body to work through. And so the Antichrist is a spirit. He can't do much unless he has a body to work through. Just like the Holy Spirit, Brother Remsen, is almost helpless unless he's got someone to work through. And you realize that's God's program. And so as the Holy Spirit needs someone to work through to become the body, to become the manifestation of what he is, Satan comes along and needs people to believe his doctrine so that he can live and express himself through them. That Christ can through a church that fully believes all of Christ, that he can actually incarnate himself in that church and live through them. And Satan, through the unbelief, can incarnate himself through a system and a people. And so the Antichrist needs someone that he can anoint to get something done. And so a Christ being an anointing, he needs a prophet. Right? So you have a false spirit needs a prophet to prophesy for that spirit. So that's why that it is the Antichrist and the false prophet, and then eventually becomes beast. These are three different attributes or three different offices of one Satan. And I say that because we know that our God has expressed himself through three offices, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Satan comes along to imitate that, and they give him a triple crown, right? A king over heaven, earth, and purgatory, whatever. And so there you have the three. And so Satan, remember I said he which was and is to come. How Satan's trying to mimic that. And so he has a false Christ, an antichrist, and then a false prophet, and then a beast. And there's Satan's trinity. And so this antichrist has an anointing, gets on a false prophet, and the false prophet prophesies people into damnation. Prophesies them through that false teaching, because he's falsely anointed by the spirit of that wrong teaching. Right? Christ is an anointing, and he's word. There's a spirit of the word, the spirit of truth. Then here's a spirit of antichrist with false doctrine, and it anoints a false prophet, anoints popes, anoints people, and so that's why that, you know, we read, it said there's many antichrists already back in that day, many of those, and there's much that John has to say about that. So later on, he becomes incarnate in this false prophet, this spirit in the false prophet, then becomes incarnate in a beast and brings his subjects to perdition. Remember I said those three? Esau went to a place of no return, right? Yeah. Cain to a place of no return. Judas to a place of no return. This is the way of this system. And so it's going to bring them the end product of what we're talking about. This ride of this false system brings the church world to a place of the mark of the beast of no return. Mm-hmm. And it's happening in our day, right now. Brings them to a place where Satan comes and incarnates himself in a system, and obviously through the Pope. And at the same time, Christ is incarnating himself in a bride. So Satan doing this, like the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Satan's trying to have his Antichrist, false prophet, and beast. So why did Satan do this? We've talked about this, and we'll go on, Lord willing, through this series, but why would Satan do this? Well, it's like I said, to get into his subjects, to lead them to Armageddon. Brother Rem said rock and roll, leading them to Armageddon. He put that in there also, and I will read a quote in a little bit from Ashamed on that. And so, why did Satan do it? So, follow me here just for a moment. Remember Brother Rem said that God had a threefold purpose. And one of them was to reveal himself in Christ. Right? And then by that, get preeminence in his church. And then when he gets preeminence in the church, that would be husband and wife. Then he can restore Eden, where Adam and Eve, you know, husband and wife in Eden. Okay? So now, he revealed himself in Christ. He lived out through the Old Testament. And then Christ was the revelation of that God revealed. Christ was the mystery of God revealed. And then through what Christ did, he was able to die for our sins, to go back to heaven, and then come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. And so now Christ is in his church, anointing them and bringing it to pass in them, getting preeminence in them, and bringing the church through the ages until he can bring them to the end, to the end where he can incarnate himself completely in his church. Okay? So there's your threefold purpose, that there was a dispensation of times. There's been different dispensations of time where God was doing certain things, and it led all the way down to Christ being manifest. And then the whole program of God was that Christ would now go up and come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit get into his church, right? And then live and bring to pass everything he said he would do in his church, because he said it's finished. Yeah. He did it. So now he just, and so in order for us to be saved, we've got to get him in us.
Right.
We've got to have that new birth to get Christ in us. Okay? And so this was God's program. Well, Satan is combating that. And so what's Satan going to do? When God pours out his Holy Ghost, and Satan's got to come along and pour out his Antichrist spirit to mimic the Holy Ghost. And so when John said, you've heard that Antichrist shall come, there's already many of them right now. He said, whereby we know that it is his last time. So what I'm going to show you is different dispensations that God was bringing it down to where he can finally get the Holy Ghost in the people. Satan comes right along, and instead of fighting the natural Israel anymore, he went into the Pope system and into Antichrist system. And so now that Christ is here on the scene, getting us to the place where he can take us into all the promises that he has and have a raptured bride at the end, Satan comes along, jumps on the scene at the same time with his Antichrist spirit. And John says, this is how we know that we're in the last dispensation, the last time. The last period of time is what he's talking about. Yeah. Now, this is how we know that we're in the last time, because Satan is here combating the Holy Spirit with his Antichrist spirit. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's how you know. Because once God gets the Holy Ghost in you, then he'll lead you the rest of the way. But Satan comes along, and that's the final stage until your body changes. Once he gets in you and leads you, then Satan comes along and is combating that. I hope that makes sense. So this is how you know that it's the last time. Christ gets into his church to bring them to a finished work, and Satan does the same thing. So in the fourth seal, Brother Ram says this, and I have to get this one off my phone because I didn't get it printed, but fourth seal, Brother Ram says, talking about this battle at the end. He said, here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth, with his Protestants and with his Catholics, and all together marching right up to the Battle of Armageddon. All right? And here comes Jesus coming down from heaven with resurrected saints, vindicated words. Resurrected saints, he said, vindicated word. As I said, if God speaks to send you, he backs up what you say. And notice, if you're an ambassador from heaven, all heaven is behind you. Heaven consists of the word. Now notice, he comes with resurrected saints, vindicating that his word is true. So Satan knows that the bottomless pit is ready for him. See, oh my. And while death rode the pale horse, this is in the fourth horse rider, fourth seal. And while death rode the pale horse mixed with creeds and denominations and followed him, oh my, to eternal separation from God, that's where he rode them to, eternal separation. And while that's going on, Christ rode his church right into glory in the resurrection. So you see, these two church systems, they become the very power that Christ is riding and the Antichrist is riding. The people and working that spirit that's almost helpless unless he's got people. He now gets the people so in tune. Christ gets so much preeminence in his church that he can finish up everything and go into an Eden with her, and Satan comes down with all his unbelief, his mixed creeds, his scientific everything, and Catholics and Protestants all together, and gets them so hooked up into his system that he manifests himself through them at the same time. And Christ, just like Jesus on Calvary, took the repented one back to heaven with him. Here's this thought system at the end time that takes those people right to perdition. That's the two spirits. It's all acting out, doing the same thing that happened there that Brother Rand pointed out with Judas and Jesus. Amen. And so, there you have it. Taking them back to their place. Bringing it to Armageddon. So, Satan come to do all this to combat the Word, because if we just stay with the Word, God will make everything work out. Yeah. See, the sin question is gone if you can get to the Word, if you can get to Christ, if you can get to the real Christ, then sin's gone. It's obliterated. Right. But if Satan, through his tricks, gets people off of that Word, then how can they have full blessing of the forgiveness of the blood and so forth if they worship something that's contrary to the Word? This is why it's so important that we must stay with the Word. Amen. As we'll read just a little bit, that God is light, right? And if we walk in light as He's in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in light, but what if we don't? If we walk in the Word, but what if we don't walk in the Word? See, that shows you that we must, when God brings forth the message, we must receive it if we want access to the blood. Amen. If we don't accept that Word, that movement of God, then we lose access to the blood. That's what that scripture is telling us. So you must stay with the Word to have access to that blood. But we're not of those that draw back from perdition, so we stay with the Word, right? To have that. But the other ones pull back away, and when you pull back away from the Word, from the blessings, from the blood, from forgiveness of sins, you're going to damnation. Doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. Right. And so, if we just stay with the Word, God will bring to pass everything in us. He will. That he promised he would do, but we just have to stay with the Word. And so, you realize that in the Scriptures, I've said this before, that in the Scriptures, to the seven church ages, when he had to rebuke them for the things that they, you know, the different things there, he never, not one time, to any of those churches did he say, well, I have somewhat against you because you smoke, or because you drink, or because you commit adultery. He never said that. Not one time did he say that. The problem he had with them was things like you're allowing that woman Jezebel to teach and to seduce. See what I'm saying? You're allowing that false system to get you to draw back from the Word. And when you draw back from the Word, then look what manifests. See? And so that's the whole thing he's talking about there is again, drawing back to perdition, which is what Cain did, which is what Esau did, which is what Judas did. And now this church system at the end time coming into this full-fledged embodiment of Satan in his end time church, taking them to damnation, as we just read there from that quote. That Christ riding his church into glory in the resurrection at the same time, Satan is riding a pale horse, a sickly church system, right, and riding him right into perdition. And that's when a name was given. It said his name is called Death, and hell follows. See, they're riding together, right along at the same time. Christ coming to full preeminence in a bride, so he becomes incarnate in them. And here's Satan becoming fully incarnate in a false system under another of the pale horse. And so if he never rebuked them about drinking and smoking and all that. He rebuked them because they were beginning to let a false teaching, and that false teaching was going to get them away from the blood, therefore See, so all we just have to stay with that word, and when we stay with that word, stay with that light, then we have access to the blood.
Amen.
But that's what the false system does. It gets you to believe another Jesus, gets you to believe another teaching, another word.
That's right.
And it gets you off of the word, and that's your demise. Because there's only one thing can happen when you get away from the word, and that's heartache, that's damnation, taking in that direction. And so he didn't rebuke him for all that. He rebuked him because it had unbelief coming in. We put it that way. And Brother Graham was the only preacher, I mean, inside the message we hear it, but he's the one that brought it to our attention that drinking and smoking and all that stuff is not sin. That's just attributes of sin. But sin is unbelief. And a lot of people might choke on that, but if we go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, I want you to look at this. So he's talking about the ones that came out of Egypt with Moses that died in the wilderness and so forth, and why they couldn't have come on into the promise, right? It said, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believe not? So we can see, I don't think I had all the scriptures there, but so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. He goes on to say that who was it that their carcasses fell in the wilderness? Right? It was those that didn't believe.
Right.
Right? And it said those who sinned. That is, I didn't get to all the scriptures there. But it said those that sinned, and then it said, so we see they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. So it tied sin and unbelief together there and said that's why they couldn't come in was because of unbelief. I think it's the verse before that. So this is what happened. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. So if we give way to Lucifer and all his lies and he's moving in a false system, then that does the same thing. So, as we read there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, we are those that believe unto the saving of the soul. We are not of those that draw back. This system was with the Word and drew back, fell away from the Word. It became what it is today. And so, but we're not of those that draw back unto perdition, but believe unto the saving of the soul. And let me say it this way, not to add to scriptures, but to just embellish upon it to get the point across. We are not of those that draw back from the word into perdition, but we believe unto the saving of the soul. We believe unto overcoming. We believe unto a rapture.
Right.
We believe unto the place that Christ becomes incarnate in us.
Amen.
We believe to the place that where we are an expression of him on this earth. You see what I mean? And that's what I said. If we can just stay with the word, God will perform in us everything he promised.
Right.
Brother, sister, he will incarnate himself in us if we stay with his word.
That's right.
We become the manifested word when we believe these things and embrace them.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're not of those that draw back, but we believe. And in our day, we're going to believe all the way to a rapture. Because it's the believing, it's of that word, that truth. You know, there's one thing that will not pass away. That's the word.
That's right.
Right? And our new birth is the word in us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the word won't pass away. And what do we feed on? The word.
Right?
Right? What's our daily bread? The word. What's the body that we're going to go to? The word. Right? The theophany body. Right? Everything is the word. Right? And he says, we're vindicated word. When we come riding, coming out of heavens with him, riding on white horses, and it says, we're vindicated word. So, as the 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, she can put that up there so you can see it. If we walk in the light. As he is alive, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. But you've got to walk in that light.
That's right.
I said a while ago that Satan's come down and he's gonna ride, as we read the quote, ride them right into Armageddon. Brother Ram also said rock and roll, right, leading them to Armageddon. And I seen it myself. It's been several years ago, but I seen it myself where they had a big meeting somewhere over there, and all these religious leaders from all over the world came in to pay honor to the Pope. And I watched the video. And all these religious leaders coming up and to the Pope, and they were doing it with rock and roll music playing in the background. Yeah. Brother Bam tells us in the sermon, Ashamed. He said, way back in the jungles of Africa on safari hunters, they had to take high-powered radios to hear Elvis Presley and Pat Boone and them guys and that rock and roll and twist. And the natives trying to see them act along, jerking their head and acting like that, the natives stood and looked at them. But you see, they're not Americans like Pat Boone and Elvis Presley and Ricky Nelson and them guys. They're not Judases of that type. See where he ties it to? Cain, Esau, Judas. What's that? I just showed you the way of Cain, the whole thing all the way, the trail of the serpent all the way through. And here it is, a religious system. And it's being revealed to us what that is, right? And he ties that, and he says, they're not the Judas. They're not Judases of that type. He said, but there, he said, see, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. And that spirit is not only in America. It has spread itself all over the world to bring them to the battle of Armageddon. They act like that. Whether they are, whatever nation they come from, Africa, India, wherever it is, that vulgar and stuff has spread all over the world by just one man starting it. He says it's the Spirit. So hath the gospel and the power of Almighty God has spread around the world. And the separation time is now. I'll finish that just for a moment. Remember, I've been dwelling once in the last 6 months or whatever, that come out of her, my people. Because I'm fixing to judge her. And I've got some people in there. The whole message came to get us out of that system. And by bringing us the message, giving us what we needed to become bride, rather than just a church. Because it's just a church, but he's calling, you know, and how many times you hear Brother Brim say that the bride's called? She's called out,
yeah.
Right? Because he's talking about an exodus. There was, you know, calling a nation out of a nation. Mm-hmm. Calling, people into religious baptism. But then calling us out of a religious baptism right on into eternity. And he talks about those things. And so, here is the power of God spread all over the world. And he said, a separating time is taking place. What? Come out of her, my people. When God is calling a bride, and the devil is calling a church. See what the difference is? What's the difference? Because the bride stays with the word, and the others draw back somewhere. Brother was said, none of those denominations can take the full word.
Right.
They pull back somewhere on everything. And what about us as individuals?
Amen.
When God is calling a bride, but the devil is calling a church. And it is a separating time. Because this is what's happened. We've come to the hour where we're not just, you know, like through the ages, yeah, we got a church and here's the people lost and here's, you know. No, we've come to the place where it's time for Christ to be incarnate and Satan to come incarnate. We're in a movement at the end where this great separating time is taking place. And this is what's happening on the scene right now.
Yeah.
And so it's a spirit spread all over the world. And you talked about rock and roll music in there also. So when God is calling a bride, but the devil is calling a church, and Brother Bram said, let me be a part of the bride. Amen. I mean, you can say that. Let me be part of the bride. God is calling a bride while the devil is calling a church.
Right.
Amen. The devil is calling the church that Christ called us out of.
That's right.
By this message.
Right.
So we've got to come out. And when God gives us this message, we can't draw back from it. Because if we draw back, we draw right back into her and we receive the damnation. Amen. And so as I read the quote where God, Christ is riding his church into glory in the resurrection while Satan is riding his church into Armageddon, into damnation. So you see why God sent us a message? So that Christ could come down and incarnate himself in a bride. And you know, Brother Brim said, when she goes up, Satan comes down.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I talked a while ago that he's an antichrist spirit and he has a false prophet, which is Pope. But once the bride goes up, Satan is cast out. Satan can't, he comes down. And the scripture says, now he has great wrath because he knows he has a short time. Why? Because he realizes he's failed. She goes up, he comes down. And so now he has great wrath. And when she goes up and he comes down, now that false prophet who's prophesying people into damnation and all that, now that anointing, Satan comes upon that man and he becomes beast. And Brother Ram said, now that's when it's going to get rough on this earth. See? But he can't become that as long as she's here. So the bride has to go up. Before that comes, before that time happens. So we might see all kinds of things going on, but Satan cannot truly manifest himself as beast, fully incarnate, until she goes.
Yeah.
Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about he who now letteth or hindereth. And that's Christ in his church, hinders.
Yeah.
When Christ, the bride, as Brother Brim said, the bride, Christ, when they go, you know, when they, then Satan can fully manifest himself. So, when Satan comes down, then he becomes the beast. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll just bow our hearts just for a moment of prayer, and I'll let you be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the time, and the place, and the liberty, and just the attentive hearts and the amens, Lord. And we just trust, Lord, that as your word is going forth, it is your word, that it's touching the hearts of your people. It's doing them good. Lord, I give to them these things tonight, these things that we share with them, knowing, Lord, that as they have heard them, that it's you, and God, that gives you the right to bring to their remembrance and to quicken to them at any time that you see fit. And so, Lord, that's what it's all about. We're not trying to have head knowledge. We're just wanting to get this revelation resident in our spirit, Lord, that you can bring it to our remembrance as you promised. And we trust you, Lord. We trust in that that's the case. We pray, God, that you would just continue to be with your people and let them meditate upon these things and just cause your word to continue to unfold layer after layer to us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that this little series has been doing some good for everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
I know I've received some comments about it that has been very good and helpful, and I appreciate that. And I know for me, it's just I'm seeing things and layers and things. It's been really a blessing to me. So we'll sing that last song we sung, Emmanuel 565, as we get ready to go. It's good to have Brother Daniel in. He had to work a little bit tonight. Amen. That's always enjoy his amens. Amen. That's like sticking to the bulldog, right?
That's right.
But it's amen. You know, it lets you know that they're backing you in what you're saying.
Amen.
Amen. So I didn't plan this, but see, he's Emmanuel, God in us.
That's right.
And that's what he's bringing us to, God in us. Because the word living in you is Christ.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's
Amen.
Right.
And it's not something else, it's Christ.
Amen.